Good morning, church. I love you, and I appreciate you so very much. Not only this morning, but over the next few weeks, I want us to consider how we relate to God in this new series. How do we relate to God? And let me give you a couple of examples of how I'm afraid sometimes we relate to God. Sometimes I think we relate to God like a vending machine. You know what I mean? Like we put our prayers in, or maybe sometimes we put our good works in and we expect to get blessings in return. Some of us find ourselves sort of shaking the God vending machine, saying, hey, I put in my good works, I put in my prayers, I did what I was supposed to, and the blessings aren't coming out like we thought they were supposed to. Or maybe we relate to God like we think he's a policeman and we're just trying to avoid getting caught doing something we're not supposed to do. Or maybe we relate to God like a therapist, and we just hope that he'll make us feel better about whatever it is that we're going through. Or maybe we relate to God like he's an insurance salesman, like we pay our dues, and then we just hope that, you know, when the worst possible thing happens, that he somehow makes everything all right. But here's the good news. The good news is that the Bible teaches us to relate to God like family. The Bible teaches us to relate to God like family. That's the next slide. And that's what our series this month is going to be all about between Mother's Day and Father's Day, that the Bible teaches us to relate to God like family. Now, that's good news, and that's exciting and wonderful, but let's be honest. That's a little bit complicated too, isn't it? Because family is complicated. How we feel about family and how we relate to our own family, it's complicated. Even on a day like today, where it's Mother's Day, Mother's Day is complicated. Motherhood is complicated. On the one hand, you know, there's a lot of us where we're really excited. Maybe you're with your mom, and so you're excited to be with your mother, and you've got a great mother, and you're excited to celebrate her, and she's wonderful, and the day is wonderful. Or maybe you're surrounded by other mothers, and you're excited to celebrate all of them. Or maybe you are a mother, and maybe this is your first Mother's Day, or maybe you've had many wonderful Mother's Days, and so there's lots of good things, and happy things, and joyful things to celebrate. But on the other hand, there are brothers and sisters in this room who have recently lost their mother. And so today is a complicated day. There are brothers and sisters in this room who have always had a strained relationship with their mom. Or maybe they haven't had a relationship at all with their mom. Or maybe their relationship with their mother has caused deep and traumatic wounds in their life. So today is a complicated day. There are brothers and sisters in this room who have lost a child or who have a strained relationship with their children. And so today is a complicated day. There are sisters in this room who would love to have a child but don't have a child yet, or maybe won't ever have a child. And so today's a complicated day. Add to that that not only motherhood is just exhausting in and of itself, isn't it? Amen, ladies? I mean, isn't it exhausting? It's exhausting. I mean, moms are working constantly. No matter what stage of motherhood a mom may be at, it's exhausting. You're tired and you're worn out and you've worked your fingers to the bone. And still, at the end of the day, you wonder if, have I done enough? Am I good enough? Maybe I've fallen short of this goal of motherhood. And so it's complicated, isn't it? It's complicated. But nonetheless, the book of Isaiah gives us this metaphor. Isaiah gives us this maternal metaphor to explain God's relationship with his people. You may not have realized that, but among the other metaphors that Isaiah uses throughout this beautiful and sometimes very difficult book, Isaiah uses the metaphor of motherhood to explain God's relationship with his people. Did you know that? Did you know that Isaiah explains God's relationship with his people like a mother? And in many ways, you can see how that metaphor works, can't you? Because God formed Israel. He created Israel. He made Israel. And then it's almost like the Exodus event is a birthing of Israel, painful for sure. And this new people comes into the world. And at Mount Sinai, he nurses his new people. He cares for them. He teaches them everything that they need to know. He teaches them how to walk and how to talk. He cares for them. He nourishes them. He nurtures them. He does all of these wonderful things for them. He shelters them and protects them. And then even at times he disciplines them. He is in so many ways like a mother caring for her children with steadfast love and compassion. Now, Isaiah has plenty to say about God's wrath and God's anger, and God is going to punish his people and has been punishing his people for their idolatry and for their sin. But at the end of the day, one of the ways that God wants Israel to think about God is in relation to a mother caring for her children. So wherever you fall on the spectrum, and whatever your relationship is to your own children or to your mother, whatever role you have in the family, I hope that you see God in a new light based on what Isaiah says. So if you have your Bible, look at Isaiah chapter 43. This is where we're going to start. Look at several passages in Isaiah. Isaiah 43. Now, this isn't specifically using a maternal metaphor, but I want you to see throughout the book of Isaiah how God talks about his people and how God wants his people to feel about him. Chapter 43 and verse 1. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. You see, that's that covenant relationship that God has with Israel. And now, because of Jesus, to skip forward thousands of years, now to us, because of Jesus, now we have been adopted into, we have been grafted into this family. So this is the way that God feels about us, because we are now part of Israel. I formed you. I created you. I redeemed you. I called you by name. You are mine. He goes on, verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. God's people are going to go into exile, and they're going to be punished for their sin. But God wants his people to know that he is going with them. And even though they're going into the flood and they're going into the fire, God will be with them. Do you know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And they got thrown into the fiery furnace because they were faithful to God, and they were thrown into the fiery furnace. And in the furnace, God was with them. And there was a fourth person in the fire with them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are this picture of Israel, because the whole people of Israel and Judah got thrown into exile and captivity. And God said, I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to protect you. You're going to go through the flood, and you're going to go through the fire, but I'm going to be with you in the flood, and I'm going to be with you in the fire, and they will not destroy you or consume you. And again, that's good news for all of Israel, meaning all of us who belong to God because of Jesus, all of us. You're going to go through some things. You're going to go through some ups and downs, some highs and lows, both collectively, us as a people, but also individually, personally. You're going to have your fiery furnace moments. You're going to have your lion's den moments. You're going to have your flood moments. And like a good parent, like a loving mother, God says, you're my people. My name is written on you. No matter where you go or what you go through, I am with you. He says, verse 3, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. You see, that is the relationship now that you have with Yahweh, that you have with the God of Israel, because of what Jesus did for you, you have been adopted into that family, and this new covenant has sealed you, and you get to have that kind of relationship with God, and He wants you to know that's the way He feels about you. See, sometimes feelings get a bad rap, don't they? But God has feelings, and He has feelings about His people. And all of the people who belong to Him through Jesus, He feels this way about you. You are precious in my eyes. You are honored, and I love you. See, some of you need to hear that this morning. Because you think that your circumstances define how God feels about you. Your circumstances, whatever it is that you're going through, Israel went through and was going to go through some incredibly difficult times, but God wants them to know before, during, and after their exile and captivity, this is the way I feel about you. And you need to know, whatever it is that you have gone through, or whatever it is that you're going through right now, or whatever it is that you might go through in the future, this is the way God feels about you. Your circumstances don't determine and define the way God feels about you. The gospel does. And God says about you, you are precious in my eyes. And because of Jesus, you are honored. And because of Jesus, I love you, all of my people. I've sealed you. I've redeemed you. You're mine. You belong to me. The way a parent feels about a child. He says, verse 5, fear not, for I am with you. Let's stop there for just a second. Over and over again, throughout the Bible, God tells His people, don't be afraid. And it's almost always attached to this reality, the reality that I am with you. Don't worry, don't be afraid, fear not. Why? Because I'm with you. And isn't that the way a good parent does for their children? They tell them, don't be afraid, not because there's nothing in the world to be afraid of, not because there's no dangers, not because there's no struggles or hardships, but because I'm with you. I'm with you. And that's what God says to His people, fear not. Why? Because I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. See, God has always wanted His people, whether that's Israel or now both Jew and Gentile, who are the new Israel in Christ Jesus, He has always wanted His people to think of Him as a parent. As a parent. A parent who loves His children. A parent who has a special relationship with this specific group of people. Out of all the people in the world, God could have chosen any group of people, any nation of people, and He chose Israel. And now, because of Jesus, you are now part of that chosen people. And you are His sons and His daughters. See, God is not a vending machine where you put your prayers in or you put your good works in and then the blessings come out. That's not how you should think about God. And God is not a policeman where you just try to avoid getting caught doing something you're not supposed to do. And God is not your therapist. And God is not an insurance salesman. When you think about God, God wants you to think of Him as a parent who loves and cares for His children. Even on the good days and on the bad days, on the days that are up and the days that are down, the days that are light and the days that are dark. Look at chapter 46 and verse 1. He says this about the idols. He says, Bel bows down, Nebo stoops. That's the Babylonian gods who are being brought down. Their idols are on beasts and livestock. That is, their idols are being carried away. These things you carry are borne as burdens on weary beasts. I mean, just stop there for a second. He says, These idols are burdens. These gods that people worship are being carried away because they can't walk. They can't help you. They can't do anything for you. In fact, these idols themselves are going to come down. They're going to bow down, and then they're going to be carried off. He says, they stoop, verse 2, they stoop, they bow down together. They cannot save the burden, but themselves go into captivity. Both the idol and the person who worships the idol are getting carried off. And that's the thing about idols, isn't it? That we put all of our trust in them, we put all of our hope in them, but at the end of the day, they get carried. They don't do the carrying. They can't lift you up. They can't carry you. They can't care for you. Verse 3, listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel who have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he, and to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, I will carry and will save. You see what God is saying? These idols that people worship, not only when you worship those idols are the idols themselves going to get carried away, but you're going to get carried away with the idols. But people of Jacob, Israel, I've been carrying you. Your idols don't carry you, but I do. I've been carrying you since the day you were born. I've been carrying you before you were born. Again, like a mother carrying you in the womb. I've been carrying you all along. I've been carrying you, and I will carry you again, and I will love you, and I will save you, and I will bear you up. Isn't that good news? Good news that now you, because of Jesus, now you are part of that people, and these promises belong to you. Stop putting your trust in things that can't carry you. Put your trust in Yahweh, who says, you're my kids, you're my sons, you're my daughters. I will carry you. I've been carrying you in the womb since before you were born. Carry you like a child. And even when you're old, even when your hair is gray, I'm going to carry you then. That's the way our God loves and cares for his people. Look at chapter 49 and verse 13. Sing for joy, O heavens, and exult, O earth, break forth, O mountains, into singing. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted. But Zion says, that is, Jerusalem said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. That's how Israel, Judah, Jerusalem often felt, didn't they? Where are you now, God? I mean, we've heard the stories, and we know what you've done for our ancestors, and we know what you've done for our people. And Isaiah says there's going to come a time, and there is a time where Jerusalem is going to say, you've forsaken me, you've forgotten me. And maybe that's how you feel today. Or maybe that's how you felt in the past, or maybe there will be a day in the future where you feel that way. Where you say, God, do you even hear me? Are you listening to me? Do you love me? Are you there? Have you turned your back on me? Have you forgotten me? Where are you, God? And when are you going to keep your promises? And here's God's response, verse 15. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Let's stop there for a second. I mean, the rhetorical answer to that is what? No, right? No, of course not. Of course, a mother, a woman, doesn't forget her nursing child or have no compassion on the son of her womb. But actually, the answer is this. Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. So I love, watch how this metaphor, it exalts a mother's love, doesn't it? It exalts a mother's love. Because when we need a metaphor to say faithful love, Faithful love that doesn't forsake, faithful love that doesn't forget. What sort of metaphor can we use to say this is the way God's covenant love is? A mom's love, a mother's love. And God would say to his people, can a mom forget? Can a mother forsake her baby? And we think, well, no, of course not. Because again, a metaphor that exalts a mother's love. But God's love actually exceeds a mother's love. It doesn't just exalt a mother's love. It exceeds a mother's love. Because he says, actually, a mother could forget. A mother could forget. And you may know that. I mean, probably a lot of us, we've experienced both the highs and lows, the positives and the negatives of human relationships. And all of these human relationships, they're broken. And we've disappointed each other, haven't we? And he says, you know, here's a metaphor to tell you how much I love you and how I won't ever forget you. It's a mother's love, but even that pales in comparison to my love for you. Because a mom might forget, a mother might forget, but I don't forget my people. I don't forsake my people. And oh, that's good news, isn't it? Because if you're part of the covenant people of God through Jesus, God doesn't forsake his people. God doesn't forget his people. If you can't even imagine a mother who would do that to her children, then God's love is even more than that. God's love is even more loyal than that. God's love is even more faithful than that. But if you can imagine a mom, a mother who would forsake her children, then you especially need to know that God's love is even more than that. More faithful, more loyal. He does not forsake his people. He does not forget his people. Skip down to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah 66, starting in verse 7, near the end of the book. Isaiah chapter 66. And here, sort of the metaphor is switched. And now it's not just God who is like a mother. It's actually Jerusalem who is like a mother. Isaiah 66, verse 7 says, before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came upon her, she delivered a son. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall a land be born in one day? Shall a nation be brought forth in one moment? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she brought forth her children. There was coming a day when Jerusalem was going to be desolate and abandoned. And nobody was going to be there. It was going to be like post-apocalyptic world. But then there was also going to be a day where suddenly it was going to be repopulated. And it was Zion, Jerusalem, was going to have tons of children. And God is saying that's going to happen like this, without any labor pains, without any warning. It's just going to happen. And I think there's a sense in which that happens when the people come back from exile. They come back from captivity and repopulate Jerusalem. But there's also a sense in which you and I are part of the new Jerusalem. We're part of the new Jerusalem. And we are the fulfillment of this promise. Verse 9, shall I bring to the point of birth and not cause to bring forth, says the Lord? Shall I, who cause to bring forth, shut the womb, says your God? Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious abundance. God is saying that, again, there's going to come a day where you're going to think God has turned his back on us, God has forsaken us, God has forgotten us, but I'm going to care for you, and I'm going to protect you. And when you look and you weep over the destruction and the desolation that's happened, get ready to rejoice, because someday I'm going to keep all of these promises, and I'm going to nourish and nurture all of my people. And again, I think there's a fulfillment of that when Israel comes back from captivity. But there's also a fulfillment of that that you're a part of right now. You are being nourished by the new Jerusalem. All of God's promises are coming true in Jesus. And again, faith causes us to look beyond what we can see. Because maybe all you can see right now is pain. All you can see right now is disappointment. Or there will be a time in your life where all you can see is pain and disappointment, but you need to recognize and remember this is the way God feels about you, and God does not forget his people, and God does not forsake his people. Verse 12, for thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream, and you shall nurse, you shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees as one, and here the metaphor switches back to God like a mother, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. This is good news, church, isn't it? God is telling his people, I will never forsake you. I will never forget you. I will keep all of my promises to you. I will comfort you. I will protect you. I will nurture you. I will nourish you. I will do all of these things for you because you are my people. I can't read this without thinking about how Jesus even picks up on this metaphor, doesn't he? As he looks at Jerusalem, and he's so heartbroken. And he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. How often I've longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. We are the people of the new Jerusalem. And so we have to respond to God in this way. We have to see God in this way. So let's put it this way, that God's loving loyalty, and that's what we've been talking about all year, God's loving loyalty exalts, exceeds, and enhances a mother's love. God's loving loyalty, because it's not just about our loving loyalty, it's about God's loving loyalty towards us. His loving loyalty exalts a mother's love. Again, that God chose this metaphor to say, you want to know how I love you? You want to know how I'm loyal to you? You want to know how I feel about you? You want to know how I won't forsake you? You want to know how I won't forget you? Think about a mother's love. And then you'll begin to understand how God feels about his people. And that exalts motherhood, doesn't it? It exalts a mother's love. But it also, God's love, God's loving loyalty exceeds a mother's love. God's love, God's loyalty, God's faithfulness goes far beyond, if you're a mom, it goes far beyond your loyalty to your children. However wonderful your mom was, or maybe your mom wasn't as wonderful as you wish that she was, God's loving loyalty goes far beyond your mother's love and faithfulness. And that's good news, isn't it? Because again, all of these relationships fall short. They're all broken. But God's relationship to his people is not broken. God's loyalty, God's love, God's faithfulness is perfect. God loves you more. No matter how wonderfully, or maybe how horribly, you've been loved in your lifetime, God loves you more. And God is always faithful and always loyal, and he does not forsake or forget his people. But I also want us to think about this for just a minute, that God's loving loyalty enhances a mother's love. It enhances a mother's love, and not just a mother's love. This is what we're going to talk about throughout our series this month. God's loving loyalty enhances everybody's love for one another. It enhances all of our love in our families. We're all part of families, big families, small families. We all have different roles in the family. Maybe you're a mother, maybe you're a father, maybe you're a son, maybe you're a daughter, maybe you're an uncle or an aunt or a grandparent or a brother or a sister or a niece or a nephew. Whatever your role in the family, God's loving loyalty enhances the way that you love other people in your family. All we have to do, or what we have to do, is look at the loving loyalty of God and say, this is what family love is supposed to look like. It's not what it always looks like, but it's what it's supposed to look like. And then we pray and we strive by the power of the Holy Spirit and through the example of Jesus, we strive to love this way, regardless of how our family has treated us. regardless of what they have done or haven't done. Because at the end of the day, you can't control what your family does. You can't control how they treat you. You can't control how they love you. You can't control how they respond to you. But you can strive to show up. Just keep showing up and being faithful and being loyal. Not because of who they are and not because of who you are. Not because of what they have done or haven't done or might do in the future, but because of who God is and how God has loved you and how God has been faithful. See, that's what it is to be a Christian, isn't it? It is to treat other people and to live our lives not based on who we are or who we have been or who we might be or based on who someone else is or what they've done or what they might do, but to live our lives based solely on who is God and what has God done for us. And knowing the loving loyalty of God, we respond to God with loving loyalty, but we also respond to one another that way. And so we say God's loving loyalty, it exalts a mother's love, it exceeds a mother's love, it enhances a mother's love, but it also enhances a father's love and a son's love and a daughter's love and a brother's love and a sister's love. All of our love for one another. And maybe there's somebody here this morning. And in spite of what you've been through or are going through, or in spite of what the future holds, you're ready to respond to the loving loyalty of God. That's what we're doing when we're baptized. We're responding to God's faithfulness. We're entrusting ourselves to Him. We're allowing Him to wash away our sins, to forgive us, to redeem us, and to adopt us into His family so that our relationship with Him becomes one of familial love. When we are baptized into Jesus, we become part of the people of Israel. We become part of the New Jerusalem. And this is the way God feels about us and His commitment to us. And so maybe there's somebody here this morning and you haven't been baptized yet and you're ready to put Jesus on and be adopted into this family. Or maybe you've strayed from the love of God and you need to recommit your life to Him and you're ready to recommit yourself to Him. Or maybe you're just bearing a heavy burden. And your brothers and sisters in Christ can help you carry that burden. And we can love you and we can pray for you. Our shepherds would love to meet with you in the prayer room after service, or you can come forward now as together we stand, sing this song.